Welcome back for another deep dive. And today we're going to try to get into the mindset of a software architect, trying to figure out when to hold on tight to those architectural decisions and when to let go and give the team some freedom. You know, it's a tough one, right? It's that classic balance. Or how do you keep things consistent, keep that long-term vision in mind, but also let innovation kind of bubble up from the teams?
It is a real balancing act. It's kind of a tightrope walk between order and chaos, or at least the potential for chaos.
Right. And we've all seen projects go off the rails. So let's unpack this a little bit. We're talking about this idea of holding on, think strict guidelines, frameworks, maybe even, you know, mandated technologies. What are the advantages of this approach, especially when you're dealing with like a large, complex system?
Yeah, well, I think when you're dealing with a large system with lots of moving parts, holding on can be really tempting.
Right.
You're trying to maintain some semblance of order, and you don't want to end up with this tangled mess of code that nobody can understand 6 months down the line. Mm-hmm. The problem is you can really stifle innovation.
Yeah, because if everybody is forced to use the same tools, the same frameworks, the same everything, you might miss out on some really creative solutions that could come from, you know, letting people branch out a bit.
Right. You're limiting that flexibility, that ability to adapt to new challenges. And let's be honest, sometimes the best solutions come from trying things that maybe weren't in the original plan.
Exactly. So let's flip the script and talk about letting go. What happens when we give teams that autonomy? What are the potential benefits?
Well, if you do it right, you can unleash a lot of creativity and problem solving.
Right.
You've got all these talented developers, and they're eager to use their skills to find the best solutions. Mm-hmm. And if you give them the freedom to do that, you might be surprised at what they come up with. But
there's a but coming. I can sense it.
But of course, there are risks.
Right.
You can end up with a system that's very difficult to integrate. Maybe every team is using a different language, a different framework, and suddenly you've got this Frankensteinian monster of a system that's, well, a nightmare to maintain.
I'm getting integration headache just thinking about it. And I imagine the long-term maintainability of something like that would be a real challenge too.
Absolutely. And then there's this lurking danger of technical debt. Teams are moving fast, they're taking shortcuts, and maybe they're not documenting things as well as they should. And all of that can come back to haunt you later on.
So it sounds like this isn't a simple pick a side and stick with it kind of decision.
Yeah.
What are the factors that an architect should be weighing when trying to decide how much to hold on or let go? What are the things that are going to influence that decision?
Yeah, for sure. It's not a one-size-fits-all thing at all. You have to consider a bunch of factors. So first off, the scale and complexity of the system. I mean, building a small website is very different from building a system that has to handle millions of transactions a day.
Right. So the bigger and more complex the system, the more tempting it might be to err on the side of holding on just to keep things manageable.
Yeah, exactly. Then there's the team's expertise. If you've got a team of rockstar developers who can make good architectural decisions on their own, maybe you can let go a bit more.
Because they're less likely to go rogue and build something that completely breaks the system.
Right. And then you've got those domain requirements. Like if you're building a medical system, you're going to have a lot of regulations you have to follow. Security and compliance become really important. So that might push you more towards the holding on side.
Because you can't afford to have any security vulnerabilities or compliance issues. So maybe you need a little bit tighter control in those situations.
Yeah, definitely. And even the company culture can play a role. Some companies are very risk averse, right? They want everything to be predictable. And in those environments, it might be harder to fully embrace the letting go philosophy.
It's like, how much experimentation is the company comfortable with? How much failure are they willing to tolerate? That's going to influence how much freedom the architect feels comfortable giving to the teams.
It totally does.
Yeah.
And that brings us to a real-world scenario where this dilemma really plays out, the world of microservices.
Yeah, microservices are a great example of this, right? Because you've got all these independent services, all these little applications, and the question is, how much control does the architect need to exert over each of those services?
Yeah, you could have two very different approaches.
Yeah.
Imagine one company transitioning to microservices and the architect comes in and says, okay, everybody, we're doing Java Spring Boot. Everything will be in Java Spring Boot. That's it.
So very much a holding on approach. They're dictating the technology, the framework, everything.
Exactly. And maybe they even go further and say, okay, here are the API design standards. Here's how you're going to handle logging. Here's how you're going to handle security. Everything is very centralized, very controlled.
I can see the appeal of that, right? You've got this consistency across all your services. It's probably easier to debug because everybody's using the same tools.
Yeah, and compliance is probably easier too. But are you sacrificing some of that agility and innovation that makes microservices so appealing in the first place?
Right. Because if every service has to be built in the exact same way, you might miss out on some of the benefits of having those independent teams, those independent services.
Exactly. So on the flip side, you've got the architect who comes in and says, okay, teams, you have complete autonomy. Choose the language. Choose the framework. Choose the tools that you think are best suited for your service.
So total freedom. Let 1,000 flowers bloom, as they say.
Right. And that can be really exciting because you might end up with a much more diverse and innovative architecture where each service is really fine-tuned for its specific purpose.
But then the challenge becomes, how do you integrate all these different pieces? It's like trying to fit together puzzle pieces that come from different puzzles.
Exactly. Integration becomes a huge headache.
Mm.
And then maintenance. How do you maintain a system where every service is built on a different stack?
And then there's that potential for technical debt to really spiral out of control, right?
Oh, yeah. Because if every team is doing their own thing, you might end up with a lot of inconsistencies, a lot of shortcuts, and that can really bite you in the long run.
So it sounds like both extremes have their pros and cons. Is there a sweet spot? Is there a way to kind of find that middle ground where you get the benefits of both holding on and letting go?
Absolutely. It's not an either situation. It's about finding that balance point.
Mm.
And that's where things get really interesting.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Let's dive into that middle ground in more detail. How do you strike that balance? How do you create that harmony between control and freedom?
Well, it starts with recognizing that you can't and shouldn't control everything.
Right.
You can't micromanage every single decision. So instead, you focus on establishing those core standards, those non-negotiables that ensure the system's integrity.
So you're setting the stage, but you're not scripting every line of the play.
Exactly. Maybe those core standards are around API design principles or security protocols or data consistency rules.
So those are your guardrails. You're giving teams boundaries, but within those boundaries, they have the freedom to experiment.
Precisely. And what this does is it allows you to maintain that essential system coherence, especially as things grow and evolve. But you're also fostering a culture of innovation because teams feel empowered to use their expertise to find the best solutions.
It's like having a jazz band. Everybody knows the key, everybody knows the tempo, but they also have the freedom to improvise within that structure.
That's a great analogy.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us to the idea of evolutionary architecture.
So we're not trying to build this perfect, immutable structure. We're building something that can adapt and change over time.
Right. Because change is inevitable, especially in the software world. So you might as well design for it from the beginning.
Makes sense. So how does this evolutionary architecture mindset actually play out in practice? How does it affect the decisions that architects are making?
Well, it means letting go of that command and control mentality.
Right.
You're not trying to dictate every single decision. Instead, you're creating a framework, a set of guidelines that allow the system to evolve in a healthy way.
So it's more about setting a direction, guiding the evolution, rather than trying to control every single step.
Exactly. And that requires a certain amount of trust in the team. Trusting that they're going to make good decisions, that they're going to follow the principles that you've laid out.
It's like you're the gardener, but you're not trying to force each plant to grow in a specific way. You're creating the right conditions for them to flourish.
That's a great analogy. And just like a garden needs sunlight and water, a software architecture needs the right kind of nourishment.
Yeah.
It needs clear communication, it needs feedback, it needs room to grow.
So how do we create that kind of environment? How do we nurture that evolutionary process?
Well, it starts with understanding the context. What are the business goals? What are the constraints? What are the strengths and weaknesses of the team? You have to gather all that information before you can even start making architectural decisions.
So it's like scouting out the terrain before you start building.
Exactly. And once you have a good understanding of the landscape, then you can start defining those architectural principles, those core values that are going to guide the evolution of the system.
And those principles should be clear enough to act as guideposts, not as a set of rigid rules.
Right. You want to give teams the freedom to make decisions, but you also want to make sure that those decisions are aligned with the overall vision.
So it's about finding that sweet spot between guidance and autonomy.
Precisely. And once those principles are in place, you have to trust the team to make good decisions, to experiment, to iterate. And that means giving them the freedom to choose the tools and technologies that they think are best suited for the job.
But how do you keep things from going off the rails? How do you make sure that everyone is still moving in the same direction?
Well, that's where feedback comes in. It's crucial to create a culture where people feel comfortable sharing their ideas, their concerns, their successes, and their failures.
So you're creating a feedback loop, a constant cycle of learning and adaptation.
Exactly. And you can use tools to help manage that process, like those fitness functions we talked about earlier. Mm. They can help you automate some of that architectural governance, ensuring that those key qualities are always maintained.
So it's like having a safety net that allows you to let go a little bit without worrying about the whole system collapsing.
Exactly. And it frees up the architect to focus on the bigger picture, to mentor the team, to guide the overall direction of the architecture.
So it's not about being a dictator. It's about being a leader, a facilitator, a guide.
Precisely. It's about empowering the team to do their best work while also making sure that the system as a whole stays healthy and aligned with the business goals.
I love that. It's about finding that balance between control and freedom, between structure and flexibility.
Exactly. And that balance point might shift over time, depending on the project, the team, the technology landscape. Mm-hmm. It's a dynamic process, not a static decision.
So the key is to be adaptable, to be responsive to change, to be willing to adjust your approach as needed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because the only constant in software development is change. So you might as well embrace it.
That's a great way to put it. Embrace the change. And remember, it's not about achieving perfection. It's about creating a system that can evolve and adapt over time.
Exactly. It's about building something that's resilient, something that can withstand the inevitable challenges that lie ahead.
I love that. So for our listeners out there who are wrestling with this dilemma, what practical advice would you give them? What are some concrete steps they can take to find that sweet spot?
Well, first of all, don't be afraid to experiment, to try different approaches and see what works best for your team and your project. And remember, it's an iterative process. You're not going to get it perfect the first time,
and
that's okay.
So it's okay to make mistakes as long as you're learning from them.
Exactly. And don't be afraid to ask for help. There are lots of resources available, lots of people who've been through this before. Find a mentor, join a community, read some books. There's a wealth of knowledge out there, so tap into it.
That's great advice. And don't be afraid to challenge the status quo. If something's not working, don't be afraid to change it. Experiment, iterate, adapt. That's the key to success in this ever-changing world of software development.
Absolutely. And remember to have fun. This is a challenging field, but it's also incredibly rewarding. When you see a system that you've helped to create come to life and thrive, it's a truly amazing feeling.
It really is. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're all just trying to build great software, right? Software that meets the needs of our users and stands the test of time.
Absolutely. And that requires us to think beyond the code, to consider the bigger picture, the human factors, the business context, the long-term implications of our decisions.
It's about finding that balance between art and science, between creativity and discipline, between vision and pragmatism.
Exactly. It's a constant dance. And sometimes you have to take a step back and reevaluate your approach. Maybe you need to hold on a little tighter, or maybe you need to loosen the reins a bit. It all depends on the context.
So for our listeners out there who are just starting their architectural journey, what advice would you give them? What are some key takeaways they should keep in mind?
Well, I'd say first and foremost, don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't be afraid to challenge assumptions. Don't be afraid to experiment. And most importantly, don't be afraid to fail.
Because failure is just another opportunity to learn, right?
Exactly. Every mistake is a chance to grow, to improve, to refine your approach. And that's how we get better as architects, as developers, as a community.
I love that. So embrace the challenge, stay curious, and never stop learning.
That's it, in a nutshell. The world of software architecture is constantly evolving, so we need to evolve along with it.
Well said. This has been an incredible deep dive into the architect's dilemma. I feel like we've covered so much ground and I've learned a ton.
Me too. It's been a great conversation.
I want to thank you again for sharing your insights and expertise with us today.
It was my pleasure. I always enjoy talking shop with fellow architects and enthusiasts.
And to all our listeners out there, thank you for joining us on this journey into the heart of software architecture. We hope you found it valuable and insightful.
Until next time, keep building, keep innovating, and keep striving for that perfect balance between holding on and letting go.
And remember that the best architectures are not just designed, they're evolved. They're grown over time through collaboration, experimentation, and a constant willingness to adapt. So go out there and build something amazing.